Good evening and welcome, everyone. This is RCN Sports Talk presented by The Morning Call. I'm Chris Michael. So glad you could be with us. We have a great show lined up, some very special guests with a lot of basketball talk for the first three quarters of our show. So let's get right with the introductions. From left to right across the screen on your television monitors, we have Tume Anderson from LVBasketballRankings.com, Dr. Gabe Lewels, Director of Sports Medicine at LVHN, of course, a prominent basketball player. We'll talk about his career as well. And someone who had an illustrious tennis career, but also the host of the program and senior sports writer of The Morning Call, Mr. Keith Edward Roller. Gentlemen, thank you for being here.
I am on the Deerf Hall of Fame, by the way.
Yes, you are. I said prominent tennis player.
All right, not for the tennis, but okay.
Why not? Why is it? We should start a movement to get you on the Tennis Hall of Fame there.
There is no, believe me, there is no such thing as a Deerf Tennis Hall of Fame.
All right, well, we'll stick to basketball then. Gabe, first time here. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
And I want to ask you this. Well, we had you and Tume here. Two guys that were very prominent in our local sports landscape. I can't believe it's been over 20 years. Can you believe that these youngsters here? Oh, I feel so old. You guys have been 20 years since playing high school basketball. There's a lot of talk right now about high school sports. There's a lot of good things. There's a lot of old school people grumbling a little bit. It's not the way it used to be. But I want to hear your reflections. You know, looking at sports, how it is nowadays, in particular basketball, there's a lot of good things you could talk about if there's anything you don't like that have evolved over the last 20 years. But Dr. Lewels, we'll start with you.
Well, I mean, basketball still is, you got to score more points than the other team, right? Mm-hmm. But I do think the way basketball is played now is very different. The kids are definitely more athletic, men and the boys and girls, they're just more athletic. I see the kids that my alma mater, Princeton University, recruits, and they're amazing athletes. Nothing that I wish I was, right? But in terms of Lehigh Valley, the one thing I notice is the crowds aren't what it was. I mean, I remember growing up watching Billy McCaffrey play, and the gyms were hot, they're sweaty, I'm running around up the stairs in the rafters getting in trouble. You couldn't get a seat in the gym.
Oh, yeah.
I remember some of the times when I was playing, looking up, it was the same kind of thing, and you would notice maybe Whitehall fans and Central fans would get in a fight. Not that we condone that, but you would see that. Now it seems a lot more a lot more calm, a lot more emptier seats. Probably social media, and you can watch all the games with great coverage on TV, but I think the athleticism is really prominent. The way that athletes train now, sports medicine, and the way sports health is—it's far and away what I was doing. Yeah. We used to eat pizza before the state playoff game, so, pizza and Coke, and they don't do that anymore.
Yeah. I think that's one of the great things about today is that your organization, the people you work for, the trainers, there's a lot more attention to medicine right now. Trainers are there. Doctors are on hand. You have certified people making those decisions. It's not like, how many fingers do you have? Okay, close enough, get out there and play.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And again, you still need to work on the basic skills of basketball. I think that sometimes gets lost, especially with the AAU going on. I'm not a big fan of AAU. It's gotten too much publicity. I think it really hurts the game of American basketball. I think it... overall in the nation, it's really dropped the level of basketball skills. And I think that's why the other, European players are really coming more prominent, because we're losing that developmental at an early age and just focusing on AAU the whole time.
Yeah. Tume, your thoughts on basketball from now, from 20 years ago?
Well, I think Dr. Lewels hit it right on the button. Athleticism is definitely at a higher level. It's so funny. You hear guys these days talk, oh, I would kill these guys. We would destroy these guys. Now, you wouldn't do anything to any of these guys back then, all right? These guys are high-level athletes. They're training all year round, like Doctor said. What also I noticed, too, with the basketball, there's a lot more back then, there were a lot more dual-sport athletes, guys playing basketball and football and baseball, whatever it is, track. Now, with basketball, like you said, all year round with AAU, guys are playing basketball all year round. It's harder now for those football guys to walk off the football field and walk onto the basketball court and be, what they were. So you're seeing a lot less of that right now in the Valley with, dual-sport athletes, football guys and basketball guys doing that together. So, everyone's on the AAU culture, which I understand is definitely definitely true. They are playing a lot of games. But you know what? These kids are choosing that to do that. They want to play basketball. I do think they're playing too much. It would be better for them to get more training in and do a lot more focusing on that and use the AAU as a supplement. But some of them are focused, and that's all they want to do is go around and play basketball every weekend, and you're not getting better at that. And that's where it is. The skill is probably not as high as it was back then, I think, as it is now. I think, you know, right now, you know, the guys are playing a lot more relying on athleticism. Back then, I think, you know, we had, you know, guys at Central Catholic bounce passing and throwing nice cuts, right? Great cuts. But, you know, you don't see as much as that now. But, you know, basketball is at a high level right now, and it's a great time to be in the Lehigh Valley.
I was waiting for you to defend AAU. I was waiting for you. You're going to make me do it?
Hey, man, you know I love the AAU
I've
circuit.
Come to embrace it in this sense that it really does open up doors.
Yeah.
I'm not a proponent of... I think there's a lot of people in it for the money, and they're not in it for the right reasons. And there are a bunch of people that are in it for the right reasons. But my issue with AAU, and I mean, that's but AAU has opened up a lot of doors. And look at Tyrese Martin. I was happy. I'm sure he was a happy guy today. Right. I was watching Rhode Island hang on and knock off Oklahoma in an overtime game. I'm sure Tyrese Martin was very happy because that's where he's headed.
Right. And I had Oklahoma. Thanks for rubbing that.
Oh, so did I, actually. But... no, I think AAU is – I want to go back to what you said, though, about the crowds. And I think
– Oh, my gosh.
Look,
yeah.
I've been trying to keep an open mind about the six classification stuff. But – and it does provide opportunities. Like a Moravian Academy may not see the light of day at this time of year without a slot in 2A. And they're a very nice basketball team. They're great student athletes. They've won 21 games. They won a District 11 championship for the first time in school history. They won two state playoff games for the first time. They may not get that opportunity otherwise. But, my gosh, I went into Martz Hall. Beautiful place you know very well. Martz Hall last night.
You're bringing up a rare loss in his career.
Well, I owe him because I'm a UCLA fan. And you know, so anyway, 1995 still – 96 still pains me. But anyway, I went into Martz Hall. I was rooting for you, though.
Thanks.
But Jim Harrick, anyway, and it's like maybe, I mean, we're there for Moravian Academy in Northwest, and I'm telling you, if there was 120 people there, I'm in line to be the next president of the United States. I'm telling you, it's crazy. I mean...
Oh, I was told there was less than 100 people at one of the games, the boys' games the other night.
Well, I mean, and you know, there were four teams there, and Harrisburg came in with their girls' team, and two of them were kind of co-region teams. Abington Heights, I think, was the other team, and the girls' game in Northwest. But it is not what we grew up with. And I'm much younger than you, but you go back to my era.
But you are?
In the 70s, 20 years before you guys. And, I mean, you had to get a ticket for an Allen and Central game
here.
Or an Allen and Dierff game like two weeks in advance. In fact, I had family that used to buy season tickets because that's the only way you were guaranteed a seat for a big city series game.
Well, Keith, though, on top of that, though, look at the state, look at the arenas these guys are playing in right now. Those are big gyms.
I know.
Those are big gyms. Okay. I mean, Freedom, Parkland. I remember I played in Parkland of Orfield Middle School. It's a middle school right now.
But I don't care what gym. They had more than 120 people at most playoff games.
It's hard to deny that.
I mean, remember this, Tomb. Dierff used to play. I mean, they used to have the District 11 championship game at the Harris. I mean, we're going back to the 60s now. They used to play Larry Miller. They played District 11 championship games at the Farm Show in Harrisburg. Allen and Dierff, 1974 Oof. Or 1975. John Donmore and Terry German's first year at Allen and Dierff. They played the District 11 championship game. The Huskies and the Canaries went up to Pottsville. They packed the place. So it's, you know, I just don't get it. I think there is a watered down quality. I know I'm going to be in trouble with the District 11 people who fought for the sixth classification. There is some good to it. I'm happy to see, like I said, a Moravian Academy get an opportunity. But there's too many. And it is appalling to me that we have under 500 teams. I mean, we're way under 500 teams making the state playoffs. It used to be a thrill and honor to be in a state. I mean, all due respect to Becca, they whooped up on, what was the
Conwell
record?
Egan.
The Conwell Egan the other night.
Yeah.
I know Conwell Egan's Philly Catholic, and it's a good league, very strong league.
Right.
But come on.
They were
on.
2-11.
You have to have
2-11 in the league.
And the team that Moravian Academy dumped on last night, Northwest, they were way four or five games under. Come on. At least make these teams be 500. At least do that. It's becoming a travesty.
Conwell Egan did not win back-to-back games after December 27th.
Wow.
Wow. Just as an
inside
FYI.
Info.
Yeah, it's a tough league, though.
I would love to see any team, any team from the Lehigh Valley go in that league and compete.
But, no, I know that. It's tough. But I'm saying, I bet we'd have some teams that would win more than 8 games.
I'm sure. Yeah.
So, I mean, look, there's got to be a standard here. I mean, we got to have a standard. And like I said, now we have to have qualifiers to fill out six brackets on the boys' side.
But, Keith, you just talked about the arenas and going. I want to talk about the arenas if we have some time here, Mr. Michaels. We go to District 1.
Your show. Go ahead.
They're at Temple University. District 2, they're at the Mohegan Sun. District 3, where are they at? Hershey Arena.
Hershey, giant arena. Yeah.
All right. District 12. They're
Heinz Field for football. They host the Steelers. Will allow high schools to come in and play championships.
District 12 also plays a game at Temple, I think.
And Villanova's hosted games in the past.
District 11. Come on, guys. I mean, these different arenas. We have Lehigh University. We have Lafayette. We have the PPNL Center. All right. Every district in Eastern PA, Gabe. All right. They play their games at these arenas. Why is District 11 the only district that's not doing that? I'm sure.
Well, there's some finances involved
and so forth, but we have to make that happen. If everyone else can make that happen, we have to be able to make that happen.
Well, I do believe in Chris Kitback. I mean, I think District 11 would love to have. They would have the basketball and the wrestling, but we need a willing partner on the other side.
That side has to. I'm not coming at the District 11. I'm more talking about the other side. They have to come to this arena. You know, listen, we're in the Lehigh Valley. We need everyone working together. They have to make that work for these kids.
And I do think that if you had an all-day affair, call it District Super Saturday, but if you had a District 11 Super Saturday where you start playing basketball at like 9 in the morning and your last game tips off at 8 o'clock
it
at night,
packed. It would be
you'd have a nice stream of people just because it's in the PPL Center.
Right.
I agree with you, but right now I think they're reluctant to take a chance when they see they're losing a lot of money right now, District 11. Believe it or not, they're losing a lot of, I mean, you would think. And a lot of people accuse them of going for a money, which is not the case at all. A lot of people accuse them of going to a money grab when they added these classifications. And actually, it's costing them more money to stage these games than they're taking in at the gate. Certainly, now the TV revenue does help, but they're not making a ton of money right now.
TV cannot be at 8 different venues
at
once.
That's true.
No, it cannot.
That's true.
And newspapers can't be at 8 venues
at
once.
And we had a guy. We just take for example last night. We had a plan, but then we're stretched thin with the different things going on. Yeah, we couldn't get to the Notre Dame game. I mean, I felt bad about that. I picked Moravian because I thought they had the best chance of winning of the three teams that were playing, and it turned out to be true. But yeah, it's even stretching us thin. If you notice, the two print organizations, we can't get the stuff that we were getting to many years ago. We have less personnel, and you have so many games to cover and so many classifications.
Yeah. And, I was going to ask you about the media. I mean, there's a lot more attention to the media. You had it in Princeton, too, and, of course, you had some big wins there. Do you get sick of people asking you about the game-winning shot you had back in 1996?
I'm sick of hearing about it. Yeah. I'm between two really upset guys.
It's Thursday night.
You were calm.
I did 5 surgeries this morning. I watched some hoops this afternoon. I'm loving life right now.
Yeah.
And I'm older than you, evidently, I learned tonight.
Did I say that?
You did.
Well, you carry your and stone
question.
I will say this.
He gets very upset when you question him with the truth.
Oh, boy. The UCLA game, that happened 22 years ago.
Yeah.
March 14th, actually, yesterday. I got a lot of
you still get texts
from that, yeah. I'm proud I did it. It's not who I am. It doesn't make me who I am. It helped me and helped my team progress to a top 10 ranking my junior year. Yeah. I think if that win got us where we needed to go. Yeah, we were really tight.
Apparently.
We were really good. Our only loss was at number 1 North Carolina.
Yeah.
When everyone always talks about UCLA with me, and I bring up my junior year, that was the best year.
Right.
We were 27-1 going to the tournament. We got a 5 seed because we were from the Ivy League. We won a game in the NCAA tournament, and then lost to Michigan State and Mateen Cleaves and Tom Izzo. My mom still does not like Tom Izzo at Michigan State. I have not watched that game, nor have I watched the Pottstown game at Martz Hall
that he brought up earlier.
Those are two games I won't enjoy. I'll watch at some point. But people still love to bring it up. That game to me, I'm proud of it. It doesn't make me who I am, but hey, I'm glad it went in and didn't, you know, every time I see it, the basket still, it still goes in the basket. Yeah. So that, I'm waiting to when it doesn't go in.
And that's one of those positive moments about sports, because when you go on and you have that success, everyone from the Valley follows you. And for me, that's one of the proud moments I have being involved in local sports, is to see you go on and have that, that shining moment on a national stage too.
Yeah, that's a cool thing about the Lehigh Valley. There's a lot of pride about being from the Lehigh Valley. And when you see a kid who, like, Rockman out of Michigan playing tonight. I mean, I'm excited. I'm cheering for him. I've never met the young man, but I'm excited to see him, and I'm hoping they, you know, they win over Montana.
They should have. Why don't we have some kind of an alumni event with all the Central Catholic stars?
You're the ambassador of the Lehigh Valley Sports. Put it together.
Get Billy Mack. We just had Jeff McGeehan on my radio show the other day. Get all the stars from the 70s and the 80s, and I mean, let's have a party.
Go ahead.
I need one.
They have an old-timers party. I've been invited to it, actually. Pete Carrill goes.
Yeah, he does.
He goes.
Keith isn't old enough to remember Pete Carrill.
I'm an old-timer now.
It's the first Saturday in, since you're older than me, you
now
should
I'm
come.
Now I'm older than you.
The first Saturday in June at the Agriplex out
there. That's right.
Yeah,
I've heard
Petey has been there. Absolutely.
Right here.
All right, more basketball talk is coming up, but right now it's time to get you a chance to win tonight's trivia question. It does involve NCAA playoffs and one of our guests hitting that historic game-winning shot over UCLA back in 1996 in the first round of the NCAA tournament. But 2 years later, Gabe's Princeton team went on to beat another team in the first round of the NCAA tournament. Who was the team they defeated in 1998? And here's more information on how and what you can win.
You could win a $10 gift certificate to use to see the latest movies and the hottest music, sports, and pay-per-view events on RCN On Demand. You can only win one gift certificate every 4 months. But if you haven't won a prize in the last 30 days, you may be able to win another great prize. Call or email us right now with your trivia response. Callers get priority. But if we don't get a caller with the correct answer during tonight's live sports talk show, we'll take all email responses and conduct a random drawing on our next live show to determine the winner. Watching the show on replay or VOD? Send us your guess now, and you just might win an RCN On Demand $10 certificate. Good luck with Sports Talk Trivia.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call. Our special guest, Dr. Gabe Lewellis, Tume Anderson from LVBasketballRankings.com, and Keith Kroller, who just celebrated his 39th birthday the other night. Happy birthday to you.
That put me...
I'm 41 now, yes.
Okay.
I'm over 40.
Very I did good. The math.
Yep.
One of the big events coming up is the VIA All-Star Game. There's a lot that goes in, the banquets, the clinics, and Dr. Lewellis, I want to ask you a little bit about it because you're involved in it, and the first event comes up this Sunday, and that's the VIA All-Star Clinic, which I believe you're going to be a part of this year.
Yes, I'm honored to be the guest celebrity coach to run the clinic. The clinic is at Northampton Community College this Sunday, March 18th, between 11 a.m. and 2 p.m. A lot of coaches in the Valley. I know my old coach, Coach Bax, is going to be there, current Central coach, Dennis Census. A fellow Princeton alum, Coach Doug Snyder of Allen, will be in attendance, and they'll be amongst a bunch of other great coaches that are going to be there. And it's for boys and girls grades 3 through 10, and it starts at 11 o'clock, and there's going to be a combine clinic where they, kind of like the NFL, they look and they see your long jump, your high jump, and things that I'm not really good at. And then you actually get into the basketball part, which I know, and there's going to be a skills development that we're going to be able to work with the boys and girls and work on some basketball skills.
It starts for a grade 3 through 10, so
yes.
This is not just for high school kids.
Correct. Yeah, we want the youngsters there as well as the middle school and the high schoolers. We'll get them all out there, and I know hopefully we can teach them something. I think we can.
Can guys still register right now, or is there still
open
registration?
Yeah, you can register online at vianet.org, and I know registration's still available, and there are still spots still open. So get online and register, and we can hang out.
And they do great work with VIA. It's got to be special for people to meet you and, you know, share some of your experiences, not just on the court, but to, you know, just to talk about what it was like to grow up and have success here in the Lehigh Valley, and then go on and have success at Princeton.
Yes, I mean I played in the VIA when I was a senior at Central, and
it was at Allen that year.
It was at Allen.
Wow.
It was, yes, and I remember I got to meet the players. it wasn't, the AAU wasn't like it was now, and I didn't know a lot of these guys, and I actually befriended some of my buddies from Easton. I met a girl from Easton, actually, and dated her for a couple weeks after that, too, through Via. So you don't know what you're
going to meet. See, that aspect of the Via, I did not know.
So, you know, you want to get involved, and you don't know who you're going to meet. No, Via is a special thing, and the background behind Via is they're going to help families and children with disabilities. And there is an opportunity for a special needs clinic that starts at around, I think, at 2 o'clock on that Sunday, where you can come, and the athletes that are honored to be part of the high school athletes that are on to be part of the All-Star Game, which is going to be that Super Saturday that you mentioned on March 31st, they're going to be one-on-one coaching these young kids. And, you know, awesome. That moment for these high school kids to be able to be a part of a special needs child is probably something they're never going to forget. And I know for the youngsters that are going to be coming and playing in a clinic, I think they're going to remember that moment as well. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So it's going
to
be great.
I always love for the All-Star Game. I was thinking about the matchups you get to play, you know, Liberty person versus a Freedom person. I wasn't thinking male-female, but that's a whole other story.
Hey, it's a beautiful thing when romance hits the court, right? Yeah,
especially with rivalries across school borders, too.
That's right.
But I think it's fun to see the kids that kind of lay back, especially if you run a slow-tempo offense. Not to say anything bad, Coach Tracy. I love slow-tempo offenses. But if you're, you know, out there, you're playing, you're worried about defense, you're worried about winning games, it's fun to see some of these athletes just kind of hang back, focus on offense, and just have fun out there, as opposed to worrying about winning and you know, doing all the right things. But it's also fun to have them kick back and have some fun too.
Yeah, it's going to be a great event. It's all day Saturday. They start at 10:30 in the morning at Northampton Community College. There's 4 All-Star games. The other thing I want to mention is Herschel Walker is going to be here at the University of Georgia. Herschel led to Dallas Cowboys. The trade led to the Dallas Cowboys dynasty in the 90s, which, as an Eagles fan, I did not enjoy. But he's going to be here at the Sands community, at the Sands Event Center, and there's going to be a banquet there. And
March
the All-Stars, March 28th. Yeah,
that's a great night. And we just had a great night for the football people, the Scholar Athlete Dinner, and this is sort of our gala for basketball. Yeah. It's a big celebration where all the All-Stars that are playing in the game are there. There's an all-area team that is selected, and Players of the Year. And I always like to emphasize the scholar athletes that come out of this, because basketball, Tom knows, it's a big-time commitment now. Yeah. For these guys to get it done academically and also in the community, I think it's harder than ever to do that. And these guys that are honored as the scholar athletes, they get a nice scholarship, too. I think are well-deserving of the honor. And it's the whole night. And we get Hall of Fame inductees in there. Oh, yeah. I forget who's involved this year. Who's going in?
I know Darnell Braswell, assistant coach at DeSales.
Darnell, we have Rich Fatzinger, my old high school coach. Coach Fatzinger is getting in there. And Rich Baker, Stroudsburg star, for sure.
So big class. And I think Kelsey Gallagher is also going in, who is the new first year as the Emmaus coach. It was an outstanding ball player in their own right up at East Stroudsburg. So
very nice.
And your coach had a lot of success on the girls' side. I didn't realize until many years he was in boys on the boys' side and had success. But he was a very successful girls' coach for 15 years.
He started off as a girls' coach. I'm not sure it was quite 15 years, but he had an awesome career at Parkland as a girls' coach, and you know, had an opportunity to move into the boys' world, and he slid right in and obviously won multiple district championships. I think over 400 wins, 400 or 500 wins there for Coach Batson.
I remember I covered the girls for a while, and he was phenomenal. Yeah. Sherry Whitman come to mind.
But it's pre-Toom. But Toom is, you know, we're a Lehigh Valley historian. I know about her. Yeah, she was definitely under Coach Batson at that point.
Be careful. You might age a few years if you hang out with
Keith. You never made a mistake, though. All these broadcasts you do, you've never made a mistake. So
I do constantly. It's a big news when you do. Plus, it was funny because I kept trying to correct you, and you kept telling me to shut up. One more thing about Herschel Walker, though. I have not heard him speak, but I heard from several people who have, because I think he was in the Lehigh Valley rather recently, or in the eastern Pennsylvania region. Very entertaining and a great speaker to young people. And that's a winning combination when you can hold a young person's attention and deliver a message, too. So I think that's going to be very special.
Yep. It's going to be a great week. Yep. Looking forward to it.
Are you going to be at the banquet?
I'm actually presenting presenting the all-area teams.
Yep. And then the banquet's on the 28th at the Sands Event Center, and the All-Star Game is going to be on Saturday, March 31st.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if we had, and I'm hoping, at this point...
You're going to stay positive here, right?
I'm going to stay positive.
Okay.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if we had a state champion to celebrate. I mean, last year,
Becca I thought girls, we were going to have Becca girls. What happened there?
I wasn't there. I was shocked.
I didn't even pick up my phone because I assumed they were going to win.
And now we have Southern Lehigh left in the girls.
Southern Lehigh,
we have three
Central
boys.
Teams left.
Man, I've been waiting a long time. I'm not as old as he is, but look, I've been waiting a long time.
Wait for the next segment, he will be.
Waiting for a long time for a state champion. I know, 86, I keep bringing it up. I was there that night. Billy McCaffrey, not Billy. Well, Billy was on the team. Yeah. He was a freshman. Eddie McCaffrey.
Because you were following the team.
Eric Smith. Eric Smith.
I was about 10 years old then.
Eric yeah. Smith was phenomenal.
You were about four. You wouldn't remember.
Yeah, I was very young Todd. Very young Todd in 86. If only that, I wish that was true. But no, I thought, man, we're at the old Hershey Park. Yep. We're going to be doing this all the time. I'm relatively young in my career. And I'm thinking, wow, this is going to be great. Well, it's been a long, long time since we've been back, 32 years now.
I think the Becca boys have a real good shot. I know they got in Hotep, which is going to be very tough. That would be on Monday.
I want to see them get through this one first. I know Berks Catholic is awfully tough. Snip absolutely.
They're different from what they've seen the last couple of weeks. They've just seen teams where they've been able to outrun and gun with them.
Do you realize this?
Berks Catholic is a team that relies more on defense, which is last two teams did not play defense. Well, but Berks Catholic does play defense, and they get real balanced scoring. They have four guys averaging 10 points per game.
And it's Jack Kidd. Very, very good. He was the MVP of the trying to remember what was your tournament, the other tournament at Cedar Beach, but they did win the tournament this past year, one of the tournaments at Cedar Beach. But Snip Esterly's got 700 wins. He knows what he's doing, and Becca's going to be challenged. And you wonder how they're going to react. It's been since the EPC title game that they've been in a close game. Yeah. I think they're 5 wins since then, 30 by an average of 30 points. They got to get used to, bare knuckles type of basketball right down to the wire.
They can win. They can do it.
I think they can. I'm picking them to win. I think Central's got a much stiffer challenge with Bonner Prendergast.
Yes. By the way, since you brought up the summer basketball, I want to salute Tume because you'll remember, Keith, he had the game-winning shot. Was it 98 at Cedar Beach?
Whoa,
he had a game-winning shot with like 4 seconds left.
I mean, I don't remember that play. I mean, maybe it was against Central Catholic and maybe I don't really remember. But yeah, it might have been 1998, July 18th, 1998.
All right, well, I thought Becca has a real good chance, too. And to me, I know you've seen
them. Berks Catholic is a strong team, as Keith is. Snip Astley is an excellent coach. Kevin Mitchell is a guy in the middle you got to watch out for. 6'5 shot blocker. He's defending everything out there. But they play a real structured offense, and they're going to slow it down and try to keep Becca under control. But Becca, they should come overcome. They have more talent than Beth and Berks Catholic this year, and they should overcome that game. And everyone's looking forward to that date, the 12th, Tuesday night. We're circling. Imhotep,
no, it's Beth, Monday.
Monday night now. Oh, Monday night now.
Quick, the state's on Thursday. Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Which is another thing I want to ask you about, too. And I know it's not going to snow on Saturday, thank goodness. But if you would play on Friday night, you have one non-Sunday. You know, if you don't practice on Sunday, you just have that Saturday, and then you play on Monday. And I know they want to spread out the state finals Thursday, Friday, Saturday, so you get them on the Monday schedule. But that's a quick turnaround. Is that going to stick around for the future?
They got to revamp everything as far as they got to take a look at what's working.
But
and what
here they're not going to though. Everyone seems to be upset with it. But when I say, well, do you think there'll be a change? Well, probably not. At least to the main structure.
We'll find out. Becca is practicing on Sunday if they win, though. I have inside information. They will be practicing on Sunday if they do win.
PIAA allows you have to have one day off practice. So most teams take off Sunday, but obviously if you're playing on a Monday, you're going to practice Sunday. I'm sure Coach Barbosa, he'll figure another day out to
You got to say, if Becca wins this thing, I know they had a couple gimmies here in the first part of the tournament.
They spend time preparing already. Yeah.
Well, they will have earned it. I mean, if they go through Berks Catholic and Imhotep just to get to Hershey, I don't know who's going to be if they get that far. And by the way, I'll probably be there next week. You won't have to put up with me if they do get there. It's a Thursday night at 8 o'clock, I think, is the game time of the 4-H.
You can do the first 45 minutes of this show and get out there in time.
Yeah, right. I can't get anywhere in time. I can't get, across the street in time. But look, they have a chance, and that's all you can ask for at this time of the year. In some ways, the two teams that we thought would be there, they are who we thought they were. Becca and Central, we thought it was going to be that way in the start, and there they are.
Yeah. And Tume, real quick, before we wrap up this thing, what happened to Becca girls? I didn't want to jinx them, but I didn't even pick up my phone because I assumed they were going to win. What happened?
It's tough, man. You don't want to, you don't want a game. You don't want to ever want to, put blame or anything. But they had a tough circumstances last night. Josh Folk from Lehigh Valley Live was out there. And at the end of the game, Becca was
Becca was tied. Tie game with about 20 seconds left. Talia Medina, one of Becca girls, drives to the basket. Offensive foul called. Terrible call. I'm saying it right now. It was a bad call. It was more likely a block. Right after that, the other team is throwing the ball, and Becca fouls them. It was a very questionable call once again. Their team goes, shoots 1-1. They make both free throws. Game, set, match.
Yeah.
Second half, the fouls 11-3 against Becca. And not in Becca's favor. So definitely a lot of questionable things going on. No, Coach Medina's being classy about it, but I don't have to be classy about it. I think it was straight robbery. They did not. I don't think they got the job done over there.
Well, this is the time of year. I always said it. You said it too. Uh-huh. This is the time of year we come to appreciate our officials.
Absolutely.
And when you see what the other parts of the state have, the thing about it is you can't let it be that close that an official.
Yeah.
And Doug Snyder, I remember.
Yeah, Jalen Cannon.
Jalen Cannon's last game, horrible, maybe the worst call I've ever seen. An intentional offensive foul. An intentional offensive foul was called.
Yep.
Now, Allen should have never been in that position, but it happened. And you got to deal with the officials at the time of year. It's just part of the deal.
Yep. All right, we'll have some more basketball talk coming up, but right now it is Keith's favorite part of the show. It's called Groller's Grumblings, where he sounds off, and he's not always positive like he was for the first couple segments of the show, and he talks about anything and everything on his sports mind. Keith?
Well, I'm going to piggyback off Toom, and Toom's got something called The Awesome Show.
That's right. Stay awesome, baby. Everything is awesome.
The Awesome Show, and I was invited to be on the show this past week, but somehow, some way, mechanical failure, and they said, "No, we don't want you. We don't want you." All right, that's cool. I got my own gig here with Chris, and Chris lets me speak. But anyway, Toom has been supporting, and I agree with him. We need to take a look at a wider variety of coaching candidates. Let's look for the best possible candidate for that school in mind. Case in point, if you prefer, Sean Mumford. I wrote about him last week. I plugged to say, look for this story. What a perfect role model for young men who, in many cases, need a great role model to kind of guide them through. The East Stroudsburg community has a lot of tough situations, and Sean Mumford is the guy to get that thing done for them, to point out that they look at you got to take care of the academics. This guy knows all about that. You got to take care of the academics. And Toom at Muhlenberg College. Hey, take care of the academics. Do the right thing. Stay away from the gangs and be a part of the gang that is a high school community and a high school basketball team. So I want our coach, when we have these openings, and there's bound to be a couple, look deep for the right candidates. Don't go for the obvious choices. Look deep and go for the best fit, the best guy that will lead kids and be a role model. We need role models in high school sports. Sean Mumford's a perfect role model, and I think we have a lot more out there.
Remind me to get a bigger card so we can promote him and let Keith talk a little bit more during the show so they can flash this out at me. All right, we will talk some more basketball with our special guests, Dr. Gabe Llewellyn, Toomey Anderson, and, of course, Keith Groller, all coming up right after this time. Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call. Our special guest, Toomey Anderson from LVBasketballRankings.com, Director of Sports Medicine at LVHN, Dr. Gabe Llewellyn, joining Keith Groller and myself, talking some basketball. Gabe, I want to ask about your profession. We were talking during the commercial break about mixing the two, playing and operating, but there was an article written by my esteemed colleague here, Keith Groller, back in 96, and I thought one of the interesting quotes he had was about how you talked about life lessons you learned in basketball, and you applied that to having a team in the operating room. But there was one quote I wanted to ask you about in particular. You said, it's a stressful environment in the operating room, but it's also an enjoyable environment. I can't think of a more unhappy place I'd want to be than on an operating table. But maybe
it's probably misquoted. If I wrote the story, it's probably misquoted.
Yeah, that's when you were younger than Keith.
That's right.
I was only 10.
I'm curious by that statement. I mean, you got to be very smart to do what you do. But, you know, how do you make that enjoyable experience and cut down on the stress?
Right. I fool a lot of people on my intelligence. But, you know, this morning I was in surgery. And, yeah, it is a stressful environment. And orthopedics in general is not life and death, right, which is a nice thing. But it's your everyday environment. And there are people that we all work with that either big pains in the butt, they're not very fun to be around, or you can have people that you want to work around and be with. And in that environment, it's so stressful, you need to learn to have fun. So you really focus on what you need to focus on, but in between cases, in between when you have a moment, you want to make sure that the team is going to help you help the patient. And if there are surgeons out there that no one wants to work with, I don't think I'm one of those people. Usually, I'm the favorite surgeons of many people. I don't want to extrapolate the details and make things up, but I'm told by the nurses that I'm one of the most favorite surgeons to work with because of that. You just want to be around people that want to work hard, that are good, they're going to know they're going to take care of their patient, but they're also going to be able to crack some jokes and have some fun in surgery.
Yeah. All right, let's go to the phone lines. We have someone wants to chime in here. Welcome to RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call. Hello, who is this?
Neil Hoadley from Nazareth, Pennsylvania.
Oh, great, great. Thanks for joining us. What would you like to talk about this evening?
No, I'm answering a trivia question.
Oh, okay, okay. If you just joined us, the question is, Gabe Lewellis hit a game-winning shot over UCLA in 1996 in the NCAA tournament in the first round against the previously national champions. But who did Gabe's Princeton team beat 2 years later in the first round of the NCAA tournament? Your guess.
I don't have the answer. Oh. I thought it was UCLA.
twice.
I didn't hear the first part.
We could have.
Was not right.
We would have.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for giving us a call. Boy, you were good that you could do that.
Tough question, man, Chris. Tough question out there.
Where were we? One of the things we were talking about during the break was about you guys still go out and play. What's that like? Because it's you said a lot of the names that we see, summer basketball, the Caddy Tournament of Champions. It's got to be good to see those guys out still playing and guys having fun too.
It hurts a lot more. I can tell you that. Monday I was in a semifinal game over at Brockville Middle School, and I'm playing against these kids. Uh-huh. And we were down 9 with about 6 minutes to go, and they go and they throw 2 alley-oop dunks to this one player on the other team. I don't know who he is. 2 alley-oop dunks. And then I go back in, and I'm guarding him. He goes, man, give me this guy, give me this ball. This guy's in his 40s. I'm gonna do it. We come back and win the game in overtime.
Oh.
Walking through, good game, and I said, you know what? I'm actually 41.
Oh,
I said, how old are you, by the way? He goes, 21. I'm like, oh, my God.
Oh, man.
But you know what? I go home, and I feel pretty good about myself. And I go, and I wake my wife up, and I say, honey, we won it overtime. Don't touch me. I'm going back to bed. Kids are already asleep. Yeah. So it's a different environment, but it's still the same. The excitement of winning a game and meeting guys around. And we all come from different backgrounds. Somebody's a janitor, someone's a lawyer, someone's a teacher, right. I'm a doctor. We all get in and we say, who cares? That's behind us, and we're here to play basketball. Yeah. And that's the great thing about basketball and team sports in general. You don't know where people are coming from. They all come all together, and they have a common goal of winning, and I enjoy that part, the camaraderie about it, too.
Your medical career has taken you to a variety of places. I know you spent some time up at Boston, but how neat is it for you to be back right here in the Lehigh Valley?
It's fun. It's weird. I mean, hanging out with you again, and but it's very fun. The Lehigh Valley has changed so much for the better. Growing up in this area, I don't think the restaurants were as awesome as they are right now. There's so many great
cuisines. A lot of more options.
There are so many more options.
A lot more things to do around here.
A lot more things than there do. It's a great place to be. I'm excited. I'm really blessed to have the opportunity to come back home. It was a big decision for my wife and I to make, as we gave up a great life where we were living before. But Lehigh Valley is where it is. My parents still live here. My sister lives not too far away. It's great to have grandparents to hang out with my kids, and babysitters are really nice. So we can go and enjoy the Lehigh Valley and lay off some steam sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're everywhere, too, nowadays, too. You've got all sorts of things going on.
Always watching.
Yeah.
But, as far as competing, going back, it's just always fun at our age to go out there and compete and, I don't want to say relive those moments, but, it's just an awesome feeling. But to piggyback off of that, man, Gabe, you go out there, you're competing, and it's just like, man, I play in some of these leagues, the league you're talking about, Brocco League, anyone could play in it. But I love the 35 and over league, man, the 35 and over league at Caddy, run by those guys over at Caddy. Gabe, you go up there for a rebound, there's nobody up there to rebound with you. I make a pass. The pass gets there, I take a shot, no one's blocking my shot. I love the 35 and over league over there, so it's always just fun to compete, though. It's always fun to compete.
I'm going to put a plug in for Toom, though. I'll tell you what, we look about Hall of Fame candidates. I really believe this. you look at the body of work. He has helped so many kids out, provided so many opportunities for kids through AAU programs, through his different events he's got going. He's a great promoter of Lehigh Valley basketball. You've run, how many events did you run this year?
Oh, Keith, man, we'll always watch it, Keith. That's all that's it. I have no idea.
And you create these matchups and these opportunities for kids to be seen. Right. Yeah. By a lot of college coaches. I mean, I do believe that you should be on the list.
No, I mean, if there's a social hall of fame, I'm telling you, I will be voting myself up there, voting myself number one on the social hall of fame. But you know, there's a lot of candidates out there for those kind of recognitions, and I'm honored that you would consider me for something like that. But you know, it's not something that I'm even thinking about. I'm just really just loving giving Lehigh Valley kids an opportunity to be known and be seen to the whole world. And social media is just an awesome thing for that. So you're obviously doing a great job promoting the kids as well. But I'm just excited to do this, to be involved with the students, and to do things that we didn't have at that time, Gabe. You know, we didn't really have someone, pushing us out there and talking about Gabe Lewis and all the Central Catholic, talking about people in Allentown, because, people are not, we're in the Valley, and, we kind of get lost out there. There's Philly, there's New York, there's Jersey, Reading, so we kind of get lost out there. So, I found a niche for myself to be, more of a promoter and pushing kids. And, I left the coaching thing. Coaching was fun. You're stuck with one team when you're coaching. So, me, I'm a guy, I'm personal, but I like talking to everybody. So, I think I found my niche in that, but I do miss this time of year, those personal relationships, you're the kid, what they're doing, and you're very involved in it. So this time of year, I miss it, but I'm just enjoying promoting kids, and there's tons of Hall of Fame. Rich Baker, a guy who graduated with me, just getting in, so I know I'm at least 10 years away. If he's just getting in now, I know I've got a long time to go for that, Keith. Thank you, though.
And by the way, I want to give Mr. Anderson credit here, because we talked to you last summer. Okay. And we just put on our website all the predictions that our guests have gotten right about this basketball season. You were the one that nailed Banger early on. You nailed Becca. You nailed Central Catholic.
These are not big surprises, though.
I picked the same teams.
Jeez, it's different when I say it than when you say it.
You say them better than you do.
Yes.
Besides, we tried to interview at Cedar Beach. You were off somewhere. Yeah. So I wanted to
probably eating, right? That's what you're going to say.
No, I wasn't. Yeah. So I wanted to pick your brain early on. And certainly we wish Becca and Central the best. Hopefully they bring home state champions. Sure. But who are your early predictions for next year? What to watch for? Year. Players to watch for? Well, teams to watch for?
Well, we haven't had the transfers yet. No one's transferred yet. Coaches haven't. What's that, right? Looking ahead, obviously, to the next season, you got to start. There's several teams.
Emmaus,
They have a lot of guys coming back. Mostly all their returning big-time scorers are coming back, so they'll certainly be in the mix. Obviously, Bethlehem Catholic has Kyle Young, Justin Pass, two of probably the top players in the league. Okay. Jeremiah Anderson still hanging out there, East Charlesburg South. But you name all these teams, Keith. This team, that team, that team. Everything in the Valley, it starts with one team. We all know where it starts with, Keith. Cedar Crest Boulevard, North Cedar Crest Boulevard, the Parkland Trojans will be, obviously, one of the teams to be, as they are every single year, Keith. No dispute. Central Catholic, they're okay. But the standard of the Valley, the Parkland Trojans, that never changes.
See, I've been accused of being Parkland's PR director. He is their PR director. They'll be back. They're going to be, they never go too far away.
No.
I think Allen's got some kids coming
up.
I know your good friend and mine, Randy Yatea, had a nice JV team.
He does.
They won one of your tournaments, I think, at the end of the
year.
A good freshman team. So the Canaries are going to always be strong with Doug Snyder's coach.
All right, final 30 seconds of the program with these guys. Time for Stone Cold Lock Predictions. It's where we ask them to guarantee something in the world of sports comes true in 10 seconds or less. Dr. Lewellis, we'll start with you.
All major Philly sports teams, the Sixers, Flyers, Eagles, and Phillies, will win a world championship by year 2030.
Okay. Wow. You're going to save the disc for that.
2030.
Tumay?
All right, my prediction, I'll go back to the football world, all right? I'm going to go, the Cleveland Browns will be the number one, have the number one pick again next year.
Okay.
Is that a bold prediction?
They'll really screw it up, too, next year, too.
Yeah, I'm sure they will.
Keith?
I'm sure they will.
No, I just wish good luck to all our teams. I think Southern Lehigh is going to be in Hershey next week.
Is that
girls,
a Stone Cold
girls.
Lock?
Yes.
Oh, good. All right. All right, we have another segment coming up involving our friends from D.C. with the Redskins executive, Tony Wiley. That'll be coming up right after this break, so stay tuned for that. One more time, we'll hit up the trivia question and your chance to win. The question is, Gabe Lewellis hit a game-winning basket over UCLA in the 1996 NCAA tournament in the first round. But who did Gabe's Princeton team beat 2 years later in the first round of the 1998 NCAA basketball tournament? You can email the answer to us, rcnsportstalk@rcn.com, and we will have a drawing on next week's show with all of the correct answers. For our last segment, we have a special guest with our friends from DKN. You can see the DKN Sports Report every Friday at 4:30 right here on RCN-TV with great interviews and coverage of our local D.C. sports teams. But one of their recent stories was about Redskins executive Tony Wiley and the outstanding career he has had and his involvement with the Redskins and the NFL media policy. Here's our portion of an interview with Tony Wiley.
Tony Wiley. He's a devoted family man.
Play video games with my son and, you know, play catch. He's a big baseball player. Play catch with my kids. My son, my daughter plays softball.
A fixer.
I always advise them on how to handle the media. I'm kind of like, I guess, a media coach.
He's also a football fan, just like us.
The football fan in me came out of my body and said, you look at these guys. These players can beat anybody right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when the football fan really came out of me.
That's Tony Wiley, Senior Vice President of Communications for the Washington Redskins. In his now eighth season with the team, he still remains optimistic with every season.
That's one thing about the NFL. Everybody has a four-letter word, hope.
Mm-hmm.
So going into the training camp, everyone feels like it's their year to win, and that's what makes the NFL so great.
Okay. As a Brooklyn native, is it hard to be a Redskins fan now?
I'm loyal to the paycheck. Are you kidding me? I'm loyal to who pays me. No, it's not hard at all because I'm around it and I see the guys. And you cut me open right now, I bleed, burgundy and gold.
Oh, okay. I mean, I wore burgundy for you.
Do appreciate it.
Like, when we're done, I'm going to change. So, I mean, when you work with them so well and now that you've come so comfortable in D.C., do you think the nation's capital is a good place for sports?
It's a fantastic place for sports. They're
really
rabid fans. I mean, you can see right now at the Nationals, I've been to Caps games. I even go to Terps games. I mean, so Georgetown games. I mean, I just love being in this area because you get a big variety of all different types of sports, professional and college level, even high school level, the math of high school basketball.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've got a piece of everything, and it's pretty cool. I really enjoy it for my kids because that's recreating some memories and we go to these games.
Yeah, and it's always a family fun time. And I see different athletes. I ran into some Redskins at a Mystics game before.
Mm-hmm.
So it is kind of like a family, right?
It is. It really is. It really is. And we support each other. I mean, I know all the people there. I know the different PR folks. So it is kind of like a little fraternity.
Okay. So what's like your relationship with the players?
I'm not their friend. I mean, I am, but it's all professional. I mean, the guys come and go. One thing about me is that I always advise them on how to handle the media. I'm kind of like, I guess, a media coach, you could say. So we put them in a good position to succeed when dealing with the media. So, you know, we're not two buddy buddies. I'm always, now, especially my age, I'm kind of like the dad. So I'll usually, some of these guys like my sons. So I'd scold them when they need to be, give them some tough love.
I can tell your love is tough. I remember that one time I was watching a game.
Oh, here we go.
Can I bring it up? I feel like I have
Sure.
All ready for this interview with the kicker. And you, like, physically made it stop from happening. So I'm guessing that you knew that it was going to be detrimental. Do instincts kick in that you said, I have to stop this right now?
Well, here's the thing. Especially nowadays, we have a cooling off period at the end of the game.
Okay.
And you have 10 minutes from the time the game ends before they talk to the media. And the reason why is when you're all emotional, game just ends, especially you miss a potential game-winning field goal, you're not going to be in the best position to deal with the media.
Mm-hmm.
So we let them cool off and let them gather their thoughts. We let them know, hey, this is what's going to happen. And usually if someone's grabbing somebody coming off the field, it's someone that we have to prep or let them know. You don't just grab someone. It's not the Wild Wild West. So that time I told the guy, I saw what was going to happen. I said, hey, leave him alone. And he grabbed him anyway. So that's what happened.
Yeah.
That's what happened. I like to follow rules.
So did their reputation kind of come before yours? Because you took a lot of, like, flack for that. People were like, he's a bully.
Yeah.
He pushed a reporter.
You know what? I was doing my job.
Yeah.
I was doing my job.
Is that sometimes hard? Do you feel like they understand?
The players do. Other people don't. Some people who really don't understand, I mean, that's fine. But, you know, the people that count is the one that matters to me.
Who was that person for you when you were their age?
Oh, wow. When I was their age, I had, you know, older fraternity brothers, and I had mentors that I kind of looked up to and kind of helped me guide me.
Yeah.
And I had, you know, professors. So usually people in my tight circle.
Mm-hmm. So when you get to this point where you are a professional athlete, you've kind of been dealing with the sport your entire life. What are you guys doing now to kind of develop young players?
That's true, but they haven't really been exposed to a market like Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
Where
you make it here.
and a franchise like the Redskins where something happens, it's not just, you know, on local television. It's going to be all over the world. And nowadays with social media, it goes all over the world rather quickly.
Yeah.
So you have to you have to be on your P's and Q's, so to speak. So we usually just try to help with that transition and let them understand that we, you know, you are in a fishbowl, you're in a huge fishbowl in this market. So nowadays, everyone that has a little cell phone is a record reporter, and they can record something that could put you out there elsewhere. So I usually tell people, you know, the four-letter word that I really warn them about is S-E-N-D, send. Because once you send it, you can't bring it back.
So not only with that post-game 10 minutes, you kind of have to do that with everything.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, even sitting at a restaurant somewhere, someone's always watching you. So use that platform for good and not evil.
Well, I've heard the excuse a lot, you know, I'm just a football player. Do you feel like being a professional athlete, that platform gives you a responsibility to be a role model?
It does, but you got to understand, too, people are still human. Mm-hmm. I mean, they don't have instructions when they have this. I mean, you talk about young kids, 22 years old, you know, a couple of weeks ago before the draft, you know, they're broke and all of a sudden you have millions of dollars. So it's not like it's easy. So you just have to, you know, surround yourself with some people. And I like to tell people the truth. Regardless, you know, I'm not a yes guy. You're going to let you know what the truth is. You're going to know if you have no clothes on. You're going to know when something is wrong. So I always tell the guys, you're never wrong when you're doing what's right.
Mm-hmm. So since their behavior and their decisions are on such this big platform, do you also encourage them to speak their piece? So if they are feeling a certain way about something, do you encourage them to be outward about it? Like, you know, I had a really bad game. Is it okay to admit that? Is it okay to admit their insecurities?
It's called accountability.
Okay.
You can't hide. You can't make excuses. If you had a bad game, you had a bad game. The good thing is I try to keep things a one-day story as opposed to a two- or three-day story. Mm-hmm. You know, once someone admits they were wrong or apologizes, then it's over with. You move on to the next thing. But if you hide, then they want to know, hey, what is he thinking? What's going on with this?
Yeah.
It turns into a two- and three-day story, and then it becomes a distraction.
Yes. What are some distractions that you have to keep these guys away from?
Oh, boy. Anything, really, it's hard to pinpoint just one, but anything that will take their focus off the game. So anything that, you know, prevents them from dealing with their assignment. I mean, football's the ultimate team game. 11 guys have to be doing the right thing. One person does the wrong thing, it can result in something bad. So they have to maintain their focus.
So it has to come first?
Absolutely.
That's
their job.
Does it still come first for you?
That's their job. Pardon?
Does football still come first for you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Anything... what comes first to me is anything, putting the organization and the team in a positive light. Finding the silver lining in every cloud.
And that's tough. Because to be honest, of all the teams in the NFL, I feel like the Redskins get like the most controversy all the time. Whether it's the team name, whether it's who you're starting, whether it's a draft pick. I feel like there's so much pressure being in D.C.
There is some pressure, however, I mean, it's a political city, and it's the climate. That's how it is here. That's how it is. That's not going to change. Mm-hmm. But there's some other places, you know, New York and, you know, Miami and some other place, Dallas. There's some other places
where
the same way. But you're right. In this market, you have to be prepared.